Okay, today's daf is Shabbat, daf Yud Zayin. We are at the bottom of Ted Zayin Amud Bet at Ve'idach, right? We mentioned that there are 18 gzeres. We haven't mentioned all 18 yet. So Ve'idach, what's another one of those 18 gzeres that went out that day? Mahi, what's the gzeres? It's not as we learned in the Mishnah. Kol medatlin mevin et tumah be'ovi ha'mardeah. All movable objects convey tumah to other things when they are the width of an ox goad. An ox goad is just a staff, a stick used to make oxen or other animals go forward. And so the law is like this: if an impure object is held over other objects, it can make those other objects impure from its airspace, right? It's conveying tuma be'ohel, right, in the general airspace underneath it, but it's not of any width. I mean, if you hold a string over, or an impure string over kalim, so then it's not going to make them impure. It has to be at least the width of an ox goad. So Rabbi Tarfon says basically an extreme statement that indicates that this is a mistaken halacha. He says, I will bury my children if this isn't a cut-off halacha that's quoted out of context. Someone heard this halacha in a different context and he made a mistake as to what was actually being taught. Ha'igar, so what was actually being said in that context that someone misheard it and taught it over? Ha'igar over moteor tefo, right? If a farmer is passing by with an ox goad on his shoulder, ve'ihel tzido achad al kever, and one side of the goad is over a grave, timu oto mishum kelim alim alamet, right? That kli itself, the ox goad, the staff, whatever it may be, becomes tame because of the airspace over a kever, meaning it is the kli itself, the ox goad itself, is what becomes tame from ohel created by a grave. That's not to say that the ox goad creates an ohel to make other kelim tame. It just, it itself becomes tame. Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani atakein shehu divrei chachamim kaimim. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, I'll fix this teaching so the teaching makes sense, and so that we can uphold the original words of the chachamim, and not to say that they made some kind of mistake in this teaching. Rather, it needs to be explained as follows. Shehu kol metatlin mevin et tuma ala adam shenoseh otan be'ovi amardeah. Right? Any vessel that is the width of an ox goad makes the person carrying it tame, meaning it is able to make the person carrying that thing tame if it becomes tame. Val atzman b'chol shehen, but the kli itself with any width becomes tame. Val shar adam b'kelim b'poteach tefach, and in order to make other things tame, needs to be the other things that aren't touching it, meaning other things tame be'ohel and the general airspace underneath it, that it needs to be a tefach. So we have a hand breadth size. So we basically have three different measurements for three different situations. The kli itself becomes tame at any width. Then, if it's the width of an ox goad, then it is metame, the person carrying it. And if it's a tefach, then it's metame anything underneath it. Rami Riyane said the following, Mardeya she'amru ein bo v'yo tefach. And by the way, the ox goad that they're speaking about doesn't actually have the width of a full tefach, v'yesh be'kefo tefach. However, it does have the circumference of a tefach, v'gazru ala kefo mishum ovio. And they made a decree about the ox goad, even though it itself was not a tefach, they made a decree that even though it itself was not a tefach, because its circumference was a tefach, it's still going to be metame other things underneath it. So that's how he understands the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon Damar, a second, I lost my place. Meaning, okay, so according to Rabbi Tarfon, who believes that this is not the proper teaching, and therefore this couldn't have been one of the 18 gzeres that went out that day, then you have fewer than 18. So what do? He doesn't have 18 degrees. So we spoke about the gzera, about the daughters of the kutim, that from the day they're born, they're already considered the Tamei Nida, that was the Gzera that he believes is the 18th. Ubi'idach, we still haven't mentioned all Ubi'idach Svar Lekar Bimeir. Ah, and the other teaching, meaning we said yesterday, we already used this Gzera about the Kuti, right? Yeah, but we said that Rabbi Meir doesn't need that, because Rabbi Meir holds, with regard to the Kalim and the Chatzer, that was one of the Gzeras. In which case, you just have to say that Rabbi Tarfon holds like Rabbi Meir in that case, that was one of the Gzeras. So he doesn't need this Gzera about the Nidas to replace the Gzera there by Rabbi Meir's Shita. So he uses that Gzera here instead of this teaching that he doesn't believe in with regard to the Tuma being conveyed by something the width of an ox goad. That way he has 18. V'idah chapotzer legad, right? And still we haven't mentioned all 18. So what's another one of the decrees? Someone who is gathering up grapes from the press. Shammai Omer, Huchshar Hil Omer Lo Huchshar. As we mentioned, that Shammai believes that the liquid on the grapes makes it susceptible to ritual impurity. And Hillel says, no, it is not susceptible to ritual impurity. Amar Lehil, Shammai. So Hillel says to Shammai, Yunimah Botrim B'Tahara V'in Moskim B'Tahara. So Hillel says, if it's so important that these things are now susceptible to become Baltuma, why don't we also collect olives B'Tahara? Because olives are also going to have moisture on it. Oil is one of the seven liquids that makes something susceptible to become Baltuma. So according to your Shita, that you're concerned that when you're collecting these olives, the moisture on them makes them susceptible for being mekabel tumah. So why is it that we're not so careful by olives? Amarle, im takniteni gozreni tuma afala masika. So Shammai says, well, you know, if you keep bothering me about this, then just for that, I'll make a gzera on the olives that they should also be mekabel tumah. Natsu cheru beit midrash. So they stuck a sword in the beit midrash. This was a very, very intense halachic discussion that day. They stuck a sword in the beit midrash. Amru hanichnas yikanes hayotze al yetze. Right? And it says anyone who comes in can come in, but no one is allowed to leave. No one, because we want all the chachamim present when we take a vote on this din. And that day, Hillel had to sit in front of Shammai like he was one of his students. And that was such a demeaning thing for Hillel to have to sit there, who was the nasi, in front of Shammai like he was a student of Shammai. On that day, it was as difficult for the Jewish people as the day that they made the Egel, because of the disgrace that happened to their Nasi on that day. Because it was Shammai v'Hillel, and since Shammai had more votes for his Shita, so Shammai and Hillel decreed together that anyone who collects grapes and they have some of the juices on the grape, it is now susceptible to Kabbal Tuma. Velo Kiblu Minayu, and Kal Yisrael didn't accept this Gzeira. V'atu Tamidayu Gazu V'Kiblu Minayu. And then their students came along and made that Gzeira, and everyone accepted the Gzeira. My Taima, Amar Zeira, Amar B'chinen. I mean, why do they see it as so significant to make that Gzeira, that they were concerned that they made a Gzeira by the liquid that it would make the fruit susceptible to mekabel tuma? Gzeira shemi yivatenu mekubot tmeot, because we're very concerned that you would have collected it in impure baskets, and the moment it's something is in an impure basket and it's susceptible to mekabel tuma, then everyone agrees that the liquid that is on the grapes now makes it susceptible to mekabel tuma, and then it's mekabel tuma from the basket. I mean, if you never put it in the basket, then there's debate whether it's susceptible to mekabel tuma. But there's a special din when you're gathering them in the basket that if the basket is tameh, it both makes it susceptible to mekabel tuma and it makes the thing tameh itself. So because we have that concern, we made a decree against any grapes with moisture on them that they are now susceptible to be mekabel tuma, lest you put them in a basket and they will definitely be susceptible to mekabel tuma and then become tameh from that tameh basket. Hanich lama damar kli tameh choshev mashkin. Well, that's only shapir. That only works in accordance with the shita that says that yes, if you put it in a basket that's not pure, you are automatically making the moisture on those grapes susceptible to be mekabel tuma. That's a very specific shita. Not everyone agrees to that. Elamadamar ein kli mitame choshev mashkin. However, according to those who say that just by putting something in an impure vessel does not necessarily make that the liquid, the moisture on those fruit, susceptible to mekabel tuma, my ikilamemar. Now, for what reason did you see fit to make this decree? You know, if you don't believe that the juices intrinsically make it susceptible to mekabel tuma just by collecting them, then you don't believe that the basket does anything by putting it in the basket, then you should have no concern. El Amar Zeira Amar Rabbi Chanina on the Gzeira Shema Yivatzenu Mekupot Mezufafot. No, because maybe you're going to put them into baskets that were filled with tar, basically closed off, sealed off, such that anything that drips from the grapes is going to be collected at the bottom, and you want that. You, of course, you want the collection of that, of those juices. They already facilitate, they already help you out, give you a head start on the winemaking process by collecting the juices itself. If the juices are just going to seep out of the basket, then you can say, oh, I didn't want these juices, and therefore it's not going to make it susceptible to mekabel tuma. But the moment you benefit from the fact that the juices are coming out of the fruit, then you know that it's going to be susceptible to Kabbal Tumah because you want the juices there, in which case that allows the fruit themselves to become tame. So if we're talking about a basket that is filled with tar and therefore it's going to collect all the juices, then we know for a fact it's going to become tame, and that's why we made the gzera. Rava Amar gzera mishum ha noshchot. Rava says that the gzera was for the following reason. The gzera is for those who squeeze the grapes actively with their hand. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua Pa'amim Shadam Holech Lekarmo Leyeda Im Higio Anavim Livitzira Olo. Sometimes a person goes to his vineyard just to see if the fruits are properly ripe. Venotel Eshkol Anavim Lesochto. And so he'll take a cluster of grapes just to squeeze them, because you can tell by the juices if they're properly ripe. Umizalef Al Gabe Anavim. And then those juices will squirt out onto the other grapes. Ubishat Bitzira Adayin Mashke Tefeh Chaleim. And that mashke, that liquid, will be on the grapes when you're collecting them. And what makes this different than any other cases? That you actively squeeze them out. This wasn't juices that came that seeped out of the fruit by themselves. You actively squeeze them out, and therefore they are definitely susceptible to Mekabal Tuma. And for that reason, we're concerned, and we made the gzera that it's going to that all juices found on the grapes are going to make them susceptible to Mekabal Tuma. V'idach. What's the other gzera? Amar Tavi Rishba, Amar Shmuel. Tavi, the bird hunter, said in the name of Shmuel, Av Gidule Truma, Bobayom Gazer. The idea that if you planted something that is Truma and it grew produce from it, that produce that was grown is also considered Truma. My time, what's the reason for that gzera? Amar Rechinina Gzera Mishum Truma Teor B'Yad Yisrael. Because maybe we're concerned that you're going to have Truma, proper Truma B'Yad Yisrael, and instead of giving the Truma to a Kohen, you're just going to plant it and then take whatever comes from it. No, so we have to say that anything that comes from it is also considered truma, so that Yisrael has no incentive to keep it by himself and then eat its produce subsequently. Amar Arava, if we're so concerned that the Yisrael is going to take his truma and plant it and then eat the produce, meaning not give it to the Kohen, then why would he even separate in the first place? It doesn't make any sense. If we suspect the Yisrael of not treating the truma properly, then why would he separate it in the first place? Right? If he wanted to, he could have separated the smallest amount of truma, as Shmuel's shita is that there's no set minimum measurement for truma. He could have separated one small wheat kernel, called that truma, and then benefited from the rest. Right? So the fact that he separated a proper truma, and yet we're still concerned he's not going to give it to the Kohen, he's trying to try to benefit from it instead, doesn't make any sense. He just wouldn't have separated in the first place. Because he didn't do that, because he didn't take the minimal route, we were going to believe that he's trying to separate truma properly. So we shouldn't really be concerned that he's going to mistreat it. No, rather, we're concerned about an impure truma that is found in the hands of a Kohen. Because maybe the Kohen's like, oh, okay, this is impure truma, but I'm going to keep it by me. Why? That way, when the planting season comes around, I'm going to plant its seeds, and then whatever grows from it is going to be fine. But then we're concerned because he's going to be keeping impure truma around his house, and he may come to eat it in the meantime before he gets around to planting it. So we decreed that the impure truma, if planted, becomes impure truma that grows from it, in which case he would have no reason to keep it around his house, because if he kept it around his house, there's a good chance that he'd eat it even though it's impure. V'idach, what's the other gzera? Amar Rechia Bar Ami, Mishmeda Ula, Af Mishaych Shichlo, Bederach, Noten Kiso Legoi. Even someone who, Erev Shabbat, realized, I don't know, I have something in my pocket. You should give it to a non-Jew. Why is that gzera? What's the significance of that gzera? Because on a deoraita level, you should not allow to transfer something for amot in Rishut HaRabim. Right? You can't transfer 4 amot to Rishut HaRabim. You know what you can do on a deoraita level? You can walk less than 4 amot and stop. And then you can walk less than 4 amot and stop. And you can walk less than 4 amot and stop. And then you never violated anything technically by Torah law. We're concerned though that that's going, that you know, is very, very dangerously close to violating a Torah prohibition. In which case, we made a gzera that if you have something in your pocket, rather than walking less than 4 amot in increments, you should just give it to a non-Jew and get it back from him later. Bo Yom Gazru, on that day, they made that decree. V'idach, and what's the other decree? Amar Bali, Amar Avivi, Sanvata, Pitan V'shmana V'yenan, V'den Kulan Miyurched Tavarehen. Right, the gzera against pot akum, right? Eating the bread made by non-Jews and oil made by prepared by non-Jews, and the wine by non-Jews, and taking the dog daughters of non-Jews. All those things are in the 18 original Gzeres on that day. Hanicha el Rabbi Meir. Okay, that makes sense according to Rabbi Meir, because now Rabbi Meir has exactly 18 decrees. El Rabbi Yossi Shavstran Havia. But Rabbi Yossi, who argued on Rabbi Meir, on the daf from yesterday, 2 days ago, right, who believes that the machloket b'mkoma omedet, as Rabbi Yossi was sover, he's now missing one of the decrees. It only works according to Rabbi Meir. Only Rabbi Meir now has 18 decrees, but Rabbi Yossi does not. How do we end up with only 18? Because we used, because some shitas used the Nida twice, right? Use the Nida of the Kutim twice, and therefore Rabbi Yossi only ended up with 17 decrees and not 18. Ha'ika hadarav acha bar ada. No, so you hold by Rav Ada bar Ava for the following Gzera. The Amar Rav Ada bar Rav Acha bar Ada Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Gazru al Pitan Mishum Shmanan. Right, they made the Gzera on Pat Akum, the bread of Akum, because of the Shemen of Akum. We didn't want them having the oil of the Akum, so we said you shouldn't even eat their bread, because if you eat their bread, you're going to become so accustomed to them that you're going to eat their oil. Val shmanan mishum yena. And we made a gzera. What's so bad about eating their oil? Well, we made a decree against eating their oil because we're concerned that if you're eating their oil, you may come to drink their wine, right? And drinking their wine was the biggest problem, because that makes you very well acquainted with one another. Al pitan mishum shmanan my uma de shemenipat. Wait, why would you have to make a gzera on their bread because of their oil? Is the oil worse than the pot? Meaning we're concerned that, oh, if you eat their bread, lest you come to also eat their oil. But that should be on the same level of severity. Ela gazru al pitan vishman mishum yanan. Rather, say the following. They made a gzera on both bread and oil, lest you come to drink with them as well. Val yena mishum binotean. And the gzera on drinking wine with them was so that you don't come to marry their daughters, take their daughters, and the gzera against taking their daughters is gzera, maybe you'll come to a avodah zarah, meaning what's the problem? You can meet them, convert them, and everything's fine. No, we're concerned that if you're getting too close to the family, then you're going to come to do a avodah zarah together with them as well. Ve'al davar acher, mishum davar acher. And on that davar acher, which is avodah zarah, towards another davar acher. What is my davar acher? What is that other davar acher we're concerned about? Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Gazor al Tinok Goy, Shetameh Beziva. Right? A gzera that was made about non-Jewish children, that they are considered tamei beziva, similar to how we made the decree by the females that they were tamei nida. So the males are tamei ziva. Shaliyat tinok Yisrael ragil etzlo b'mishkaf zachor. Right, because we didn't want our male children sleeping with their male children. Ihachi l'Rabbi Meir nami. If that's the case, then also Rabbi Meir has a problem. Chaser havion, because now he has 19 with all those decrees. Ochlin mekein l'shinit b'mashkin mechada chashivlu. No, according to Rabbi Meir, both the food and the vessels that are that become tameh, both the food and the vessels that can't be used when they come in contact with mashkin tameh, with impure liquid, that's actually one decree. It's a very, very similar decree. So now he only has 18. Okay, up to the Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim en shorin diyo v'siman v'karshinin ela kidei shiro she yishoru b'od yom beit hil matirin. Basically, we have the following concerns. Are you allowed to do something Erev Shabbat if there's not enough time to complete that process on Erev Shabbat, but you didn't do anything on Shabbat itself? You just put in things into motion Erev Shabbat, and it continued to work on its own during Shabbat itself. So, according to Beit Shammai, you're not allowed to soak dyes or soak animal food. Basically, anything that you can only or ink. Dry ink, from Erev Shabbat, unless you have enough time that anything that you needed to have happen with the dyes, with the ink, or the animal food, what could have happened Erev Shabbat. Behil Matir, and Behil says, no, as long as you started Erev Shabbat, you're fine. Beshamay Omrin Ein Notnin Unin Shel Pishtan L'Tocha Tanur. You can't put flax into the oven, ela kadeshi yabilum bodyom, unless there's enough time for it to heat up during the day. Velo tatzemer li yora ela kadeshi yiklotayin, and you can't give wool to the dyer unless there's enough time for it to already obtain the color of the dye, Erev Shabbat. Rabbi Hillel Matir. Rabbi Hillel says, no, you can do it even if it's going to absorb the color even on Shabbat, because you put it in before Shabbat. B'Shemai Omrim and Porsim Mitzur Chaya Of V'Dagim Elekadesh Yitzurim Mibodiyom. You can't set up traps for animals, for birds, or for fish on Erev Shabbat unless there's theoretically enough time for it to be caught on Erev Shabbat. Rabbi Hillel Matir. Rabbi Hillel says, it's fine as long as you did it Erev Shabbat. B'Shemai Omrim and Mochrin Legoy V'Entoni Nimo V'En Magbim Alav Elekadesh Yagil Makom Karo. Right? You cannot sell something to a non-Jew or load up his burden Erev Shabbat, or you know, pick it up for him Erev Shabbat, unless he has enough time to get from where you are to a close by area that would be helpful for him Erev Shabbat itself. Ubehil Matir Behil says, no, you're allowed to do what you're allowed to do Erev Shabbat. What the non-Jew does afterward, that's really his prerogative. He's not chayiv in Shabbat. B'shamay Omrim Ein Notnin Orot La'abdan. You can't give hides to a tanner. Velo Kelim L'koves Goy. You cannot give clothes to a non-Jewish launderer. Ela Kadesh Yasu Mibodiyom, unless he has enough time to do it Erev Shabbat. V'chulim Behil Matir in Ima Shemesh. And Behil says, all these things are allowed to be done as long as the sun has not yet set on Friday. Amar B'shamay Omrim Nagu Hayu Beit Abba Shayu Notnin Clay Lavan Lakovesh Losha Yam Kod Mishabat. Rishim Gomila says, yeah, my father's house would be very makbit not to give anything to a non-Jewish launderer within 3 days of Shabbat, just to make sure that he wasn't washing them on Shabbat itself. Shavin Elu Ve'elu Shatonin Kura Beit Abad Ve'igula Yehagad. However, Beit Hill and Beit Shammai agree regarding putting the wine press or the olive press onto the olives and onto the grapes from Erev Shabbat, even though the liquid is going to come out on Shabbat itself. They both agree that you're allowed to do that on Erev Shabbat.